Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah? So have you ever wondered what type of English learner you are? What does this even mean? You've probably come across various tests that claim to tell you what type of learner you are and your preferred way to study. So in today's episode, we'll be discussing some of these tests along with some archetypes of language learners.
It's a really interesting topic, so make sure you keep listening until the end to work out which category you might fall into. And then make sure you head on over to our Instagram at reallife.english for a very special bonus lesson there.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
dynamic
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, paddleboarding, or even
getting your hair cut.
So I'm joined here in the virtual Barcelona studio, as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
It's going well, thank you. I'm doing good today. I mean, I'm going to be very British here and say the weather's not so great. It's just a big dark cloud has just appeared and it seems like it's nighttime, but all good otherwise. How about you?
Luckily, we're not filming this, right?
Yes. Yeah, that would be quite bad. Bad lighting.
But the good thing is that the weather's supposed to be nice this weekend, so we're getting it out of the way.
That's true. That's the most important thing, that the weather's good at the weekend.
And what does that mean, to get something out of the way?
It means that you kind of let it pass and you get over it. So maybe you have to do something you don't really want to, and you do that in the morning or something to get it out of the way, and then you can start to enjoy your day more.
Exactly. So before we get into today's main topic, where you will discover what type of learner you are, which is something that's super important, and we'll talk about why that is, we have a shout out to a very special listener and app user out there.
So today's shout out comes from Gaurav from India. He says, "Hey to all Real Life coaches. This is Gaurav from India, and I'm also part of the Fluency Circle. I can bet you that this is the best app ever made for the English subject. I've been using the app for 4 months now. This is best for short conversations and listening to podcasts and interviews on a variety of different topics with valuable vocabulary. Also, your channels are giving the best content. Hats off to you. See ya."
I love that shout out. So I'll ask about a couple of things there. So first of all, what's the Fluency Circle, Andrea?
So the Fluency Circle is a global community of English language learners that basically have joined our courses. So if you join any of our courses, you become part of the Fluency Circle. So you can participate in weekly challenges, you make new friends, you just connect with, it's another great way to connect with other learners that are also doing our courses.
Right. And it kind of gives you a support system for your learning. I know a lot of people out there, maybe your wife or husband or your significant other doesn't speak English or isn't learning English. Maybe you don't have any friends that are learning English. And so it can be really nice to be part of a community where everyone is in the same boat, which means that everyone is going through the same things that you are. You can get advice from other people. Maybe you're just having a bad day and you're not feeling motivated. So it can be a good place to kind of get that motivation from and keep pushing through. So Gaurav said, "Hats off to you." What does that mean? That's a great expression.
Yeah, this is like saying well done. Mm-hmm. It's like if you're wearing a hat, it's polite to kind of take it off or lift it to kind of acknowledge someone, right?
Right. Now, if you meet the queen, are you supposed to take your hat off in respect?
Yeah, I think if you meet the queen, you shouldn't be wearing a hat, I'm thinking. Like, yeah, maybe you should take it off before you even kind of greet her or something, you know. I'm not sure, like maybe if at some weddings or something, you know, when people wear kind of the top hat.
Right.
I'm not sure what would happen there. But yeah, generally, you should definitely take it off out of respect.
Or I was thinking, because she's really into horses and horse racing. So I was thinking too, a lot of times I think at those kind of official horse races, people also dress up and might be wearing like a hat or something like that, right?
That's true. So definitely, I think if they're addressing her, they'd have to take it off.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Very useful for any of our listeners in case you have the opportunity to meet the queen, one can only hope. And if you want us to shout you out like we have Gaurav today, then all you have to do is download our app. And this is great because you can listen to this podcast and tons of others, as Gaurav pointed out, with a full transcript and vocabulary definitions. So you can really take your listening to the next level. And of course, you can, at the touch of a button, anytime, anywhere, start speaking English and meet people from all around the world. And it is all absolutely free. So give it a download. If you enjoy it, then leave us a 5-star review in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. And the great thing when you do this, you're helping other learners from around the world to also discover the app and improve their English with us. And if you do that, then we might just shout you out here on the podcast. So that said, we have a burning question from another one of our listeners before we get into today's main topic.
Yes, so I'm very excited. We have another burning question that was sent in. So just a reminder, if you want to record your burning question, you can do so and send it to me, Andrea@reallifeglobal.com, because this is how we've received the burning questions you've been listening to the last few weeks. So today's burning question is from Mukadessa in Afghanistan. Let's listen to it.
Hello there, this is Mukadessa Ikhtiari from Afghanistan. First of all, thanks to Real Life Global English for providing us this opportunity to overcome our problems in English. So one challenge that I face in English is pronunciation. Whenever I speak fast in English, I have tongue twisters, and I find it really difficult to overcome this problem. So I want you to recommend some tips in this section because I really need it because I want to get a fast speaking accent and also a clear and fluent pronunciation. Thank you.
Amazing. Well, I would first point out there, I think that Mukadessa, that she has really beautiful and clear pronunciation. So whatever you've been doing so far, keep it up because I think you're doing a great job. Of course, no one is perfect. We're always learning, so one can always improve, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you speak amazing English already, but it's great that you want to improve and that you've recognized there are certain things that you can work on. So there are definitely some things that can help you for sure. I think one of the first things, Ethan, is something that maybe, did it help you in Catalan when you were learning Catalan?
Oh, it's helped me, I think, in every language that I've learned.
Okay.
It's like one of my favorites.
Yeah. So maybe you can share it.
All right. So that would be listening to music and then practicing singing. So listening to music is really great for your listening. It's really great for learning new vocabulary, for learning expressions, especially because the language tends to be used in kind of an artful way. And then kind of like learning the lyrics and then, you know, maybe when you're in the shower, you're in the car, maybe if you're like a really good singer, you can even sing in front of other people. But for me, I usually just do it at those times when I'm alone. And this is really great because it's, I always kind of refer to it like it's you're taking your tongue, you're taking your mouth, your muscles of articulation to the gym. Because when you sing, you kind of have to exaggerate all the different movements in your mouth. And when you do this, you're kind of strengthening those things. So it can, the fact that you're exaggerating, which we don't tend to do when we speak, is going to help you to pay more attention to the sounds that are really difficult for you. So maybe for a lot of learners, the TH sound is really difficult. So when you sing, you can really exaggerate those THs. And by doing that, then when you do get the opportunity to speak, it's like you'll have already had your warm-up. You already have gone to the gym and strengthened that so it'll come out more naturally.
It's true. And I think like even I'm a native speaker, but, you know, if I want to practice accents or things like that, I think sometimes, you know, it's quite fun to do. And just growing up listening to music and even British artists, when they sing with an American accent.
And also I interviewed a few weeks ago, Dalvis Ness from The Mimic Method, who has used music to teach himself like a perfect accent in various languages. There's a video where he sings 8 different languages. And I think 2 of them, he doesn't even know a word in those languages, and yet he's like able to sing with perfect pronunciation. Mm. So he has a really interesting methodology that he has taught to other people. So I highly recommend listening to that. If you love music, if you're interested in learning this way, and if you want to really iron out the mistakes in your pronunciation, so that could be really revolutionary for you. And it's obviously the interview that I had with him is free, but now he's made all of the resources in his Mimic Method courses for various languages, including English, absolutely free. So you have really nothing to lose there. I recommend you check that out. And that will be linked in the show notes, which you can find linked in the description of this episode of the podcast, wherever you're listening. What's the next tip, Andrea?
So another great one is to record yourself. So this is a great way to actually pick up on specific areas that you need to work on that way. Because sometimes when we're just speaking normally, we don't necessarily hear or recognize the mistakes that we're making or the things that we need to work on. So by doing this, you can recognize those, but also you'll have a record. If you keep them, you'll have a record of your progress as well. So you can look back to a month before and kind of see if you've improved on that particular area, which would be great to see. And it's great motivation for you as well.
Yeah, that's very true. And you're probably, if you're listening to this, you're probably at a good enough level where you will recognize a lot of your own mistakes. So you could just choose any topic that you're interested in. Maybe pretend as if you were introducing yourself to someone and you had to tell them, you know, what's your name? Where are you from? What do you do for work? All of that jazz, all of those things. And, you know, record yourself and then listen back. Or for example, you could pick some topic that you're really interested in, maybe some band that you really love and talk about that, or share some story from your childhood, anything like this. And that can be a really great way to practice that every day, practice, 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 and then listen to it and you'll catch a lot of your own mistakes. Of course, if you have a teacher or something to help, that can be really great as well, because, you know, a native or a very fluent teacher will be able to help you to point out a lot of the places where you're having some pronunciation errors that you might not catch yourself, but trust me that you will be able to catch a lot of these by yourself and know where you have to work more. And we have a final tip. What's that one, Andrea?
So you can drill, basically, which is repeating saying sounds over and over again. If you're drilling, it's you're doing something over and over again. So it's very repetitive, but it can be really useful to do that that way. You know, like you mentioned the muscles of articulation and all that sort of thing, that can be really useful for just your mouth and your tongue and everything to get used to making those sounds.
Yeah. And there's a lot of different ways that you can do this. I think one great way might be with tongue twisters, because you can find different tongue twisters that will help you to practice specific sounds. So again, if you know that the TH is one that you struggle with a lot, there's a handful of different tongue twisters that really focus on that sound. And so you can say the tongue twister over and over and again. You could even record yourself, listen back, catch that. And that's like a great way to drill it. And for example, like Hadar from Accents Way or Rachel from Rachel's English, who we've done interviews with both of them, they have courses that it's basically this, it's just drilling. So you could find some course like this as well that might help you to do it and get some feedback on that.
Yeah. So I hope that's helped to answer your question. There's quite a lot of things that everyone can do there to practice their pronunciation. And I just want to take the opportunity as well to remind everyone that we've been really excited the last few weeks with you guys helping us determine the next podcast episode. And we'd like to continue with you being involved with that. So if you head on over to our Instagram at reallife.english, there will be a poll there on stories today where you can basically vote for the next podcast episode. So make sure you do that as soon as you finish listening to this one.
Yes, that is a great idea, because we actually chose today's topic based on votes from our community, right?
Yeah, we have. I think last week, this week, and yeah, we'll continue it for a while as well.
So help us to know what you need to learn, and That way you can help us to help you. All right, so without any further ado, we should go ahead and jump into today's main topic. Hey there, Real Lifer. Have you downloaded the Real Life English app yet? On the app, Andrea and I will guide you beyond the classroom to live, learn, and even speak English in the real world. So how do we do this? To start with, you can listen to the Real Life English podcast and Beyond Borders talk show, even this very episode, with digital transcripts so that you can follow along and develop your listening fluency. Plus, check dozens of definitions of all the most difficult vocabulary, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and so much more that you won't find anywhere else or in any other podcast. And how would you like to develop real-life speaking confidence at the touch of a button by speaking with other learners while making friends across cultures? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, now with the Real Life app, it will be a dream come true. Download the app to listen to our podcast with transcripts and definitions whenever and wherever you want, and speak with people from all around the world. What are you waiting for? Join our global community today by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or by going to www.realLifeGlobal.com/app. That's APP. Or simply search for the Real Life English app in the Google Play or Apple App Store today, and let us guide you beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. Ah, yeah. So, Andrea, first of all, why is it important that one know what type of learner he or she is?
Well, I think it's important to recognize the ways that you enjoy learning for sure, because it's definitely going to have a huge impact on your motivation. And also, sometimes I feel like you might be studying and maybe things aren't working, and then you need to reflect and kind of figure out what's working and what isn't. So it's very individual, it's very personal. Just one very small example of mine: sometimes if someone reads something out to me, I can't really take it in. I kind of need to see the words in front of me and read it myself. That way I'm actually taking it in, absorbing, understanding it, and can then move on to what I want to do. So it's definitely very important.
Yeah. So it's like the more you learn and the more you pay attention to how you learn best, the more that you can kind of identify this and do more of what's going to be really effective. So you're making the best use of that time. You're able to learn a lot more efficiently and a lot faster. Similar to like what you've said, I know for me, oftentimes it's one thing I've discovered is that oftentimes I'll remember things based on where I was or who I was with. So for example, if I'm listening to a podcast or listening to an audiobook, I might remember a piece of information because I was doing something, like I was out for a run, and I can remember, okay, you know, where I was actually when I heard that one piece of information. So it's kind of interesting to discover those things, to be aware of those things about yourself, and kind of create environments that are going to help you to just be more effective.
Definitely. And we've already hinted a little bit at, like, I suppose, visual, auditory, and kinesthetic learners, which is a model that was developed in the late 70s. So in 1979, the VAC model was discussed a lot and kind of taken on as a way to know the learning styles of students. And I think it's still important to mention this because although recently it's been debunked, which kind of means that it's not true or it's kind of like a myth, it's not very accurate, I do think that knowing this information and also thinking about it and reflecting on it yourself can be useful.
Mm-hmm. And without a doubt, even though it's been debunked, as you said, there are people who are a bit stronger, more strong learning by seeing things. There are people who are really good at learning by listening. For example, Lindsay from All Ears English was talking about that she doesn't really like getting her information by reading. She much prefers to like listen to a podcast while she's on the go because she's discovered that that is more effective for her. But for other people, like Andrea had said before, that's not such a good method for her, that she needs to actually see the words on paper and stuff for it to stick. So being aware that there are these different types of learning styles can help you to kind of have a framework that can help you to put your finger on what is more effective for you or not so effective. So you can kind of reflect, if you're listening to this, then auditory learning is pretty effective for you, right? Because you're on the go and you're listening to this, and maybe you found that that's a good way that information sticks for you. But maybe if you're, like Andrew is saying, you need to see the words, then you really need to download our app so that you can have the interactive transcript and you can be reading at the same time you're listening, so the information will stick better.
Yeah. Sorry to backtrack a little bit, but you mentioned put your finger on. What does that mean?
That means that you're able to identify something, right? So you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, I just can't put my finger on it, which means that they just can't figure out the root cause of something. Like, for example, maybe you've been really fatigued and you might say, I just can't put my finger on why I've been so tired lately. Like, you don't know what's causing you to be so tired because you're getting plenty of sleep, you're not really changing anything, and yet you're still really tired.
Exactly. Yeah, you explained it really well. And yeah, so basically, the reason why this kind of model has been debunked is because studies have shown that if you're just listening to a lot of things, so there's just a lot of input happening and no visual to relate it to, sometimes it can lead to cognitive overload. So it can lead to just, you know, your brain being like, okay, that's too much, I need to stop now, or you'll forget it. Mm-hmm. So it does mean that it's better to listen to and look at something than to just do one or the other. But of course, it's different. Everyone is different. This is why I think we shouldn't forget about this completely, because for some people, it does really work. Maybe they have a level where they don't reach cognitive overload as quickly as others. So that's why it's just important still to be open to it.
Yeah. And that's why you always need to take advice with a grain of salt, because all of us learn differently. So what someone might say, you know, is the best advice in the world that's, you know, for learning English or for learning something, maybe that won't work for you. Or what someone else says, like, isn't so great, maybe that works really well for you. And so taking it with a grain of salt, which means to listen to it, to consider it, but to not take it as the ultimate truth. And really to the reason, like polyglots, which is someone who is a polyglot, speaks many different languages, they tend to become really good at learning languages. And, you know, anytime they start learning a new language, they can learn quite quickly compared to someone who hasn't learned a language before, more than anything, because they've really discovered this about themselves, like what works really well for them and what doesn't work. And they can focus really on those things that work very well. And I think anyone who you find who's a good learner has really learned how to learn and what is unique in their learning styles. Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode.
Okay, so the next thing we want to talk about is fixed intelligence, which originated from the IQ tests, which were developed in 1905, actually. So over 100 years ago. And these were used by parents, institutions, schools to basically start labeling kids and giving them a prognosis. So kind of like saying how intelligent they were based on their IQ. However, psychological studies have shown now that there are individual differences, and neuroscience basically tells us that neuroplasticity, which basically means the brain can always learn and change itself through experience. So rather than having a fixed intelligence, it shows that if you have new experiences, if you learn new things, like your brain can actually change itself. So it's not fixed.
Yeah, there's a quote or saying that's when you stop learning, you start dying. And in a sense, that is kind of true, because one of the reasons a lot of people will develop maybe diseases like dementia or Alzheimer's is because they're not doing enough to keep their brain active and to challenge it. So, you know, in a sense, our brain really requires, you know, being challenged, having to work through problems and things. And it really just goes to show that no matter what you've been told, you know, at school and stuff, you hear it all the time that, you know, people were told like, you know, you should just give up, or, you know, stop learning English. It's just like, you're never going to be a good speaker, like focus on something else or anything like that. You know, that maybe they had some really bad teacher who just told them to give up. They might end up being really successful at that, maybe because of that, in defiance of what that person told them. But it just goes to show that, you know, maybe you had an experience in school or something that made you feel like you weren't very smart or something, but that's not true, because exactly what Andrea's pointing out here about neuroplasticity is that you can grow your intelligence by offering yourself mental challenges. And just because something is hard for you today doesn't mean that if you keep working at it, that you can't overcome those difficulties.
Exactly, because I know so many people that I went to school with or that went to school after me that would always say things like, oh, I hate maths, I'm not good at maths, or something like that. And I really loved maths. And I think maybe it's just because I had a great teacher in my primary school and I had a great experience with it. And it's so sad that other people have these experiences and then just develop this fixed mindset on what they're not good at. So when I became a teacher, this was so important to me. When I had kids say to me, oh, I don't like maths, I would ask them why. And they would say, oh, it's too hard, or I'm not good at it, or it's this and it's that. And I really had to work with them and develop this growth mindset with them to know that, okay, it's challenging, but it doesn't mean that you're not good at it. You just have to, you know, find a way that works for you to solve these problems and work it out so that you can enjoy maths. And it was always a challenge, but it was always something I loved to do, was to, you know, to, because these kids are so young as well. They shouldn't have this fixed mindset, this closed mind from so early on. But it shows you how it affects people, like, for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. And there's even the positive things that we might tend to tell children that can carry over into our adulthood. Like, you know, when you tell a kid like, oh, you did so good at that, you did so good on this math test, it must be because, you know, you're so smart, instead of saying it's because you worked so hard. So when you put the emphasis on intelligence, that creates a fixed mindset. Whereas when you put it on the work itself, that creates more of a growth mindset. So the child that you tell, oh, you did really well on your math test, it's because you're so intelligent, then as soon as they get into more difficult level of the math and stuff, and they're not good at it, then they're going to say it's not their fault. You know, they're going to tell themselves, oh, the teacher's just bad, or it doesn't matter anyway, it's not important for me, or, you know, I just don't like math. And the student who's been told, oh, you know, you did really well on your math test because you worked really hard, or maybe they didn't do so well on it and they were told instead, like, you know, you didn't do so well this time, it just means you need to work a little bit harder next time. Then they are going to, anytime they see a challenge, they're going to tell themselves, oh, you know, I didn't do well, or this is really difficult, I just need to work harder. So they're going to be more focused on the work, on what growth they need to undergo in order to be successful. So the reason that I'm telling you all of this is because if you're one of those people who tell yourself, oh, like, my English isn't good, it's just because I'm not a good English learner, or I'm not a good language learner, or I'm just lacking in some sort of talent, it's really not true. For, I think, you know, probably 90, 95% of the people, it's probably not just because of something related to your talent, it's probably because of something that you went through in school that maybe created a more fixed mindset for you related to language learning or English learning. And so try to catch your own language, your own self-talk. And if you find yourself telling yourself, oh, this is really hard for me, I'm just must be bad at languages, or I must be stupid, and flip that around to just say, I just need to work harder at it. I just need to, you know, keep on going. Because if you have that growth mindset, then you're much more likely to not give up and you're much more likely to be successful in the end.
We're talking a lot about fixed mindset and growth mindset. And if you want to learn more on this topic, we made a lesson on the Real Life English YouTube channel, which we'll link down in the show notes as well, because it's such an interesting topic. And I mean, in not just in a language you're learning or in anything you're learning, but in all aspects of your life, it's something that can really impact you. And it's important to be aware of. It's not that we never have a fixed mindset. It's just acknowledging when you have it and trying to develop more of that growth mindset so that, you know, you're not afraid of failing or you're not stopping yourself from progressing or you're not open to new opportunities. You know, you don't want to miss out on things just because you have a fixed mindset. So definitely check out that lesson if you haven't already watched it.
Totally. So to wrap up today's episode, we are going to share with you from our own lessons that we have framework for discovering what type of English learner you are. Now, this isn't scientifically backed or anything, but it is kind of like a fun way to reflect a little bit about what type of learner you are and what works best for you that then you can apply to becoming more efficient in your learning and doing it faster, doing it better. So we're just going to actually share two of these today. But if you head over to our Instagram at reallife.english, then you can get some more information about this. We'll also share in the show notes the full blog article that you can read. And over on our Instagram, you can take a sort of personality test that is going to help you in a fun way to discover what type of learner you are. So, Andrea, what's the first type of English learner that we're going to share with them today?
Okay, so keeping in with the positive feelings here of talking about growth mindset, we're going to start with the Jedi Master. And basically, this is someone who has achieved a high level of fluency. They're not perfect, but they're pretty close to it. And what makes this person so powerful in their language learning is that they have a growth mindset. They have a great attitude and a dedication to their learning, which brought them to that level.
And you also don't see it as like, you know, someday I'm going to be this fluent speaker or I'm going to speak like a native. Instead, you realize that learning language is a lifelong journey. It's not something that, you know, one day you're going to be a fluent English speaker and that's it. It's something that you're going to always be discovering things throughout your life, learning new words, learning new expressions, improving your pronunciation a little bit every day. And knowing that perfection doesn't exist. Even native speakers aren't perfect. We make mistakes all the time. So the Jedi Master knows that he or she can always improve their skills.
Exactly. And they've worked hard to master their accent, to increase vocabulary, and even improve their cultural understanding. But all the while, they are not arrogant about it. They stay humble about their skills. And I think this also makes a huge impact on why they have reached this level of fluency and everything, because a lot of it is to do with your attitude as well.
Totally. I think it's really important too that you're not comparing yourself to other people. You're not trying to say like, oh, my English is so much better than his is or her is, and instead recognizing that everyone's on their own journey and you're at one place, maybe someone else is ahead of you, they're doing a little bit better or whatever the case is, but you just need to work a little bit harder. And not putting people down maybe because their accent isn't as good as yours, just to make yourself feel better. So there's 7 in total, but we're going to just share one more with you all. And you can learn more over on our Instagram at reallife.english. And we'll choose one that's quite a bit different from the Jedi Master. So what's that, Andrea?
So the next one is academic. And I feel like I've met a lot of people, especially living here in Spain, I've met a lot of people that are maybe fall into this archetype. These are people that studied English in the best schools. They maybe got some really good exam results, maybe some Cambridge, a great level in Cambridge or TOEFL or something. And so they have a really good knowledge of grammar. However, they lack the confidence to speak English. And they also have a hard time understanding natives because they've just focused so much on the academic English, the grammar and everything, and they haven't really used it or taking it into real life or, you know, all these things that we talk about are real life English, like understanding fast speaking natives, connected speech, and just using it as well. I think they've just been so afraid because they've learned all these grammar structures and all this vocabulary to use different words and things. And they just become a bit overwhelmed and afraid of making mistakes.
Right. And it's not necessarily a bad thing either, because it means you probably have created a really good foundation. But I think if you are this academic archetype, it's important to know when it's time to depart from that archetype and to immerse yourself more in real world English, as we like to call it, you know, discovering really what is the human side of learning a language, because language, it's for communicating, it's for making friends, it's for helping you to achieve your goals, maybe at work, maybe traveling, or whatever the case is. So if you resonate with what we've been saying about this academic learner, that you've been studying it for a really long time, but you still aren't where you would like to be, then the app could be a really great way for you to get more in touch with the real world English, because you can listen to these podcasts with the transcript and everything, helping you to develop your listening, as well as vocabulary that you actually need in communication, and to actually start building a habit of speaking English every day, so that you can kind of take everything that you've studied at school and start actually applying it and building that confidence in your speaking.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. Like, it doesn't matter, like, whichever category you fall into here, it doesn't mean that it's set. Again, have a growth mindset. You can fall into others. If you aspire to be a Jedi Master, then you can work out what you need to do to become a Jedi Master of English. Like, it's totally possible.
All right. So remember to head over to our Instagram at reallife.english, so you can discover the other 5 types of English learner archetypes and take a test to figure out which one you are and what would be best for you to focus on to take your English skills to the next level. And we've had so much fun today discussing with you different types of learners, how to have more of a growth mindset, and again, how to discover what type of learner you are. So thanks so much for joining us this week on the Real Life English Podcast, and we look forward to seeing you soon. 1, 2, 3.
Aww, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes, like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our Real Life Native Immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend, or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.